Welcome to Hope Sabbath School, an in-depth, interactive study of the Word of God. I'm glad you joined us today as we continue a series of studies on the role of the church in the community. Our topic today, mercy and justice in the Old Testament. We're going to see not only the mercy and justice of God, but what He desires for each one of us. And I'm glad you joined us. And welcome to the team. What a great series this is. Just learning so much about not only what God is like, but what He desires us to share with those around us. And we're glad you're with us for this study. We're always happy to hear from you. Thanks for writing to us at sshope@hopetv.org. I'm told that people like to hear from around the world. We've got so many different countries represented. And Aguma writes to us from Kenya and says, the Hope Sabbath School has been a great blessing to me. I look forward to watching and following the study. Kindly keep in prayer two of my friends, Joseph and Philip, who are addicted to tobacco and alcohol. I desire that they stop and that we serve together in God's work. Amen. That's awesome, isn't it? Thanks and blessings galore. Well, Oguma, thanks for writing to us from Kenya. Here's a note from Hendrickson in Georgia in the United States. Hendrickson says, I'm 14 years old, live in Georgia. Every Friday night, my siblings, my mom and I love to watch Hope Sabbath School and get deep into the study of the Bible. God bless you for spending time and doing the studies. I was also excited to meet some of you in person. Pray for my school grades and my family. Well, that's a practical request from Hendrickson. And we want to pray that God will bless you. Do you know when you seek first God's kingdom, everything else you need will be added to you? Thanks for writing to us from Georgia. Ravika writes from the UK, but a Filipina. So a lady from the Philippines in the UK. We are a global Hope Sabbath School, aren't we? Yes. I'm a Filipino nurse working in the UK. First time to be away from my family. I yearn for those days when I could attend church service with my family, all lined up in one bench. Can you see the picture? Mm-hmm. Hope Sabbath School has been a blessing to me as it empowers me in the midst of being away from my family. I watch online, share it in public on social media, and then ask God to guide me to who else He wants me to share it with. Is that awesome? Yes. That's what we're doing here. Indeed, praise God, one of my friends has been very interested and in asking more about the Bible study. She likes the way the Bible study is conducted, how the Bibles are placed open on the table. You know, every once in a while, someone has a smartphone. I think, Tyler, maybe you have a smartphone today, right? A tablet, that's great. But there's something about the Bible being open, isn't there? Yes. It's like, we're going to read the Bible here. We want to know what God's Word says. Keep up the good work. May God continue to bless you as you inspire others. And if I may ask you, pray for my family in the Philippines and for the growth of their witness too. Well, we have a lot of prayer requests. We'll have to remember them all as we pray today. David writes from Puerto Rico. Anybody been to Puerto Rico? A few of you have been to Puerto Rico, okay? Hope Sabbath School members, may the love of our Lord Jesus be with you always. Amen. I'll accept that, right? Amen. I'm Dave, live on the island of Puerto Rico in a small town called Moca, where the first Adventist church was built on the island. M-O-C-A. Did I say that right? Moca? I watch Hope Sabbath School on Friday nights and again on Sabbath mornings as I prepare for church. I've been watching since I got a satellite dish some years ago. I like the insights of the weekly study, and I translate your ideas to Spanish and share them with others. Amen. We've got a missionary there. I hope I'm doing justice to them. Well, we want to tell you, David, God bless you for being a witness there to those who will receive that word in Spanish. May you continue spreading God's word. Keep up the good work. God bless you, Dave. Well, Dave, you're a missionary there in Puerto Rico. We're just glad you're part of our Hope Sabbath School family. One last note from James in Malaysia. I would like to thank God for creating this wonderful Hope Sabbath School team, which is all of you. It's interesting and helping me a lot to understand the Bible. Whenever I see the faces of your team members, it makes me happy because you have smiles on your faces. I told you smiles are important, right? You know, sometimes people are maybe looking for hope and they're just surfing the channels, right? Or they're wondering and they take a look and they say, that's something I need for my life. Continue this amazing ministry and be blessed. God bless you always. And I love what James Alexander says at the end of his note. He says, see you all in heaven. Amen. Yeah, that's what we're planning. Thanks for writing to us, James, from Malaysia. We've got Hope Sabbath School members all around the world. We'd love to hear from you. You can write to us at sshope@hopetv.org. And by the way, if you've not been to our Facebook page, go there because we put messages, pictures. We sometimes will put up songs like the scripture song we're going to learn that people have translated into other languages. Just so amazing what God is doing. But for this series on the role of the church in the community, we're singing Psalm 92. It is good to give thanks to the Lord. I invite you to sing it with us.
It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name. It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name.
It's amazing to think that believers in God, the true God of heaven, have sung these songs of praise for 3,000 years. We just put a new tune to it. But I hope you'll hide it in your heart as we sing together.
It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name. It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name.
Let's pray that God will bless our study. We're talking about the character of God today, justice and mercy in the Old Testament. And let's pray we can discover how we're to share that justice and mercy too. Our Father in heaven, thank you for the privilege of studying your holy word. It is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. We're thankful that the Holy Spirit inspired people to write and then preserve these sacred scriptures for our learning. And I pray for each Hope Sabbath School member around the world that a miracle would happen as we study your word, that your truth would find a place in our hearts, not just to bless our lives, but the lives of those around us. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
We're starting in the second book of the Old Testament, the book of Exodus, and we want to begin talking about justice and mercy mattering to God, that God cares about justice and mercy. And Samisa, if you'd like to start our study today, in Exodus chapter 22, verses 21 through 23.
Exodus 22, verse 21 to 23. I'm reading from the New King James Version. And it says, "You shall neither mistreat a stranger nor oppress him, for you are strangers in the land of Egypt. You shall not afflict any widow or fatherless child. If you afflict them in any way, and they shall cry to me, and I'll surely hear their cry." Mm.
And move over, Jonathan, to just the next chapter, if you would, chapter 23. And let's hear more about God's desire for justice and mercy, verses 2 through 9.
All right, I'll be reading from the New King James Version. "You shall not follow a crowd to do evil, Nor shall you testify in a dispute so as to turn aside after many who to pervert justice. You shall not show partiality to a poor man in his dispute. If you meet your enemy's ox or his donkey going astray, you shall surely bring it back to him again. If you see the donkey of one who hates you lying under its burden, and you would refrain from helping it, you shall surely help him with it. You shall not pervert the judgment of your poor in his dispute. Keep yourself far from a false matter. Do not kill the innocent and righteous, for I will not justify the wicked. And you shall take no bribe, for a bribe blinds the discerning and perverts the words of the righteous. And you shall not oppress a stranger, for you know the heart of a stranger, because you were strangers in the lands of Egypt.
So what impresses you about this counsel? Yes, Jonathan.
There's so much practical in it.
It's very practical, isn't it?
I mean, there's so many things that we can very much apply to all kinds of situations that we see in our world today, the issues rushing around our world, that so much would apply to how we would are called to live.
Did verse 3 startle you at all? What did you notice about verse 3?
He says not to show favoritism to a poor person.
And that's kind of surprising because in many places it says don't take advantage of the poor, right. Care for the poor. So what's this saying, Jason?
This is saying that justice requires fairness, requires neither an advantage nor a disadvantage, but equality.
Yeah, so justice for?
All.
For everyone, right? Let's look at another verse in Deuteronomy 24. Tricia Lee, perhaps you could read for us, starting in verse 19 of Deuteronomy. These are all in the books of Moses as we're starting our study and saying, what matters to God? Justice, mercy, and justice. Verses 19 through 22 of Deuteronomy 24.
I'm reading from the New King James Version. When you reap your harvest in your field and forget a sheaf in the field, you shall not go back to get it. It shall be for the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hands. When you beat your olive trees, you shall not go over the boughs again. It shall be for the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow. When you gather the grapes of your vineyard, you shall not glean it afterward. It shall be for the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow. And you shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt. Therefore, I command you to do this thing.
So what is all of this practical instruction, Jonathan said? It's very practical. You know, shake your olive tree, but don't shake it twice. What does that tell you about the character of God? Anybody?
He's all-inclusive in that he doesn't want us to be selfish. He wants us always to seek the benefit and blessing for others as well.
All right. Anybody else? And Andrew, what do you think about the character of God?
Yeah, just that it's not selfish. It's always for the benefit. I think he obviously talks about the poor people the most because in our selfishness, we usually are taking advantage of those who are weaker. But in general, it's just other-centered.
Yeah, so he's wanting us to be unselfish. Yes, Trisha Lee?
To be attentive and to be just cautious that there are others around that still need something. If there weren't poor people around, then maybe you could shake it twice. Mm. But you just know there's always someone out there who might need something. So no need to be selfish and pick the very last olive off the
tree. But I dropped a sheaf and I have time to go back and get it.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord says, don't go back. Nicole?
It's about community, I think. You know, it's not just what's going on in your own house, but thinking about those around you and what the needs are of others, I think, is what Amen. Our God is all about. It's about the community.
And what does that reveal, Kyle, about his character?
Well, God loves everyone.
Amen.
And I think it also tells, you know, so often we think that what we have is we own it, but really God owns it,
yeah.
Right? So if he says, hey, don't shake your tree twice, we shouldn't worry about that because that's God's anyway. He wants to provide for everybody.
Amen.
You know, you said God loves everyone, and we kind of passed that a bit quickly, but that's kind of the summary of God's character, isn't it?
Amen.
Samiso, God is love?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think the other thing that strikes me is the fact that he keeps bringing up that you were once in this situation.
Okay.
You were once strangers.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You were once enslaved. You were once in this predicament. And I also translate it to a Christian life. Mm. You were once sinners. Mm. You were once liars. Mm. You were once alcoholics. You were once addicts to something. And so how do you relate to those people? Many times we relate to them in a pious way, just exclude them.
Yes.
But it reminds us we were there at some point had it not been for grace.
Yes, yes. So not only, like Tricia Lee said, be aware of the people around you, but be aware of where God brought you from,
yes,
right?
Amen.
Yeah, as we're thinking about God's care for justice and mercy. Let's look at the Sabbath now. The Sabbath is very important in the Scriptures, and certainly Exodus 20, verses 8 through 11 is a well-known passage about Sabbath. Perhaps you've not thought about that as emphasizing mercy and justice. But Nicole, maybe you could read for us, starting in verse 8 of Exodus 20. Where do you hear God's character revealed in the Sabbath commandment?
Sure, I'm reading from the New International Version, and I'll read Exodus 20, verses 8 through 11. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that in them is, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy.
So where do you see the mercy and justice of God in the Sabbath, Missy?
He commands us to, for those who may possibly be working for us, for them to have a rest as well as the animals, the stranger within your gate.
So the blessing is for everyone, huh?
Yes.
Amen. Yeah? Now, are you aware of the fact that in addition to the weekly Sabbath, which was a remembrance of creation, there was also a Sabbath year, every seventh year? Mm-hmm. And then there was the
Jubilee.
Year of Jubilee, which was the seven sevens, and then the next year was the year of Jubilee. Let's look at those two, because I think they also speak about God's mercy and justice. Exodus 23, verses 10 and 11. And Leviticus 25, 8 through 17. Jason, do you have Exodus 23, verses 10 and 11?
I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Exodus chapter 23, verses 10 and 11. 6 years you shall sow your land and gather in its produce, but the seventh year you shall let it rest and lie fallow, that the poor of your people may eat, and what they leave the beast of the field may eat. In like manner, you shall do with your vineyard and your olive grove.
So this is even more than, Jonathan, even more than don't shake the tree twice. What do you hear in this passage?
I mean, just it makes me think how many issues would be solved if they would have just followed this. I mean, how many things we see in the world today of these imbalances of power, of poverty, et cetera, that if we really followed his principles and applied them at an individual level, because it's required individual choice. It wasn't something that could be forced. It wasn't something that could be mandated. It required people to choose it. Mm. And so I think that that's the challenge, is God's way isn't about forcing people. It's about calling each of us to seek mercy and justice individually.
Does it surprise you that he also says, let the animals have access? Andrea?
I mean, even the land. I mean, I've always thought, well, it should be nice to animals, but even the land gets rest in this plan, which is pretty, yeah.
So God shows mercy to all of his creation. Missy?
I just think that it's, we all do better mentally, physically, if we have that time away. And what a merciful God that he would see to it that not only that we would, but all the things around us would too.
Yeah, for sure. Nathan?
In a previous lesson, we studied about the restoration of all things. And we talked about dominion, right? God had given dominion to Adam and then to us by extension. And so I think this is part of that dominion and restoration. We are responsible for the land, for the care of the animals within our sphere of influence, for the stranger within our gates. And then by even caring for the land and the creatures, we are being stewards of God's, and we're restoring it. We're being part of that restoration, or at least caring for it until he comes and finally restores all things.
All right. Let's go to Leviticus 25 now. Tricia Lee, maybe you could read for us, beginning with verse 8. This is something that you may have heard of, the year of Jubilee, but it was actually a remarkable time and very practical too. God cares about mercy and justice. Let's read verses 8 through 17 of Leviticus 25.
From the New King James Version. And you shall count 7 Sabbaths of years for yourself, 7 times 7 years. And the time of the 7 Sabbaths of years shall be to you 49 years. Then you shall cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month. On the Day of Atonement, you shall make the trumpets to sound throughout all your land. And you shall consecrate the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land to all its inhabitants. It shall be a jubilee for you, and each of you shall return to his possession, and each of you shall return to his family. That 50th year shall be a jubilee to you. In it, you shall neither sow nor reap what grows of its own accord, nor gather the grapes of your untended vine. For it is the Jubilee. It shall be holy to you. You shall eat its produce from the field. In this year of Jubilee, each of you shall return to his possession. And if you sell anything to your neighbor or buy from your neighbor's hand, you shall not oppress one another. According to the number of years after the Jubilee, you shall buy from your neighbor, and according to the number of years of crops, he shall sell to you. According to the multitude of years, you shall increase its price, and according to the fewer number of years, you shall diminish its price. For he sells to you according to the number of the years of the crops. Therefore, you shall not oppress one another, but you shall fear God, your God, for I am the Lord your God.
Now, there's a lot there about diminishing crops and increasing crops, but some of you may have lived in countries where there was lease property. I went to grammar school in London, and a whole section of downtown London is owned by the Queen. And it's leased from the crown, and you can get it for 99 years, or maybe if it's getting less, maybe it's only 20 years left. And the less years that there are, the cheaper it is. Why? Do you know why? Let's say there's only 5 years left on the lease. Why is it cheaper?
Because it goes back to the queen.
That's right, because it goes back at the end, and then you have to renegotiate. Did you realize in the year of Jubilee that the land was returned?
Right.
Well, why would anybody buy land a year before the year of Jubilee if they have to give it back to the original owner?
To plant crops.
To plant crops, but they're not going to pay much for it, right?
Yeah.
Because they've got to give it back the next year.
Right. Right. Yeah.
They'd pay more for it if they could keep it for 47 years, right?
Right. Yeah.
What's God trying to teach us here? It's very practical, Jonathan.
Yeah, it just, to me, it's you look at all the issues we deal with in our world today. I mean, you've got produce and things getting less and less, the nutrients. But, I mean, you've got huge accumulation of wealth with the rich. And all those issues would have been are solved in this model. I mean, you every few years, nobody can get overly rich. And yet nobody can just sit there and do nothing because there is incentive. But
sure.
So it's just this thing that it solves so many problems. We look around the world today and it's like, wow, those would all be different.
So the challenge is how God expects us to live today, but that's something we're going to wrestle with. Kyle.
I was just thinking, you know, in our human mindset, we see value in people, whether they have money or land or property. God says, no, I don't see it that way. I love all my creatures, and God levels the playing field. I mean, whether it's the weekly Sabbath, whether it's the every 7 years or the year of Jubilee, he's saying, I own you, I own this earth, and I'm going to make sure all my creatures are taken care of.
And remember where you came from, right?
Remember where you came from.
Yep, Tricia Lee?
I agree with Jonathan. Even reading some of this, it might sound as though God is trying to restrict people from getting wealthy or having much. And it might seem like some type of socialism or some type of, you know, regime that just withholds from people. But I think if we could value what real society looks like, where the poor are not in an uprising, where everyone is able to have something, we would see things a bit differently, that God can still bless your crops while allowing you to bless others around you. And I think that there's a lot of unrest today because there are those that have and those that don't have anything, literally. And I like the end of the scriptures we just read that said, you shall fear your God. So it's kind of restoring the social relationships between the poor and the rich, but it's also restoring our relationship with God, knowing that he's the one that supplies for us. We don't have to plant year round to know that he can still provide for us. So we're kind of all kind of restoring in multi-direction with each other, but also with God.
And in the year of Jubilee, we don't plant anything and we still go and eat.
Right. Exactly.
So it all comes from God.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yes, Nicole.
I was going to say that we also are a culture of waste right now. We have a lot of waste. And I think that if we had this principle in what we do today, we wouldn't have as much waste and people needing so much, and there'd be so much extra for folks who had extra. And so I think that this is a way to kind of say, you know, we won't waste, and we'll let everyone be able to eat from the land that God has provided for us.
It would be tragic if we knew how much food is thrown away by people who have too much while others have nothing to eat. This model says when you've taken what you need, leave the rest for someone else to shake the tree, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Nathan?
I love how it ends at the end of verse 18. It says the whole point of that is so that you may dwell safely in the land. Mm. Mm. And Tricia Lee touched on that you know, when there is an inequality in society, it leads to crime, it leads to all kinds of problems, unrest and dissatisfaction. And God says, my whole point in this is so that everybody can have their needs met and you can live in safety.
So we know God is love, but we're hearing that he also cares about mercy and justice. Mm-hmm. So perhaps some of the texts we're going to read now, we're going to read several rather quickly, won't surprise us anymore that he really wants us to reflect his character mm-hmm. of mercy and justice. Let's look at a few passages. Psalm 82, verse 3, Proverbs 14, 31. Proverbs 29:7, Proverbs 31:8-9, and Isaiah 1:17. We'll just see this as a theme that's appearing. And Tyler, do you have Psalm 82, verse 3 that you could read for us?
I do, and I'll be reading from the New International Version. Defend the weak and the fatherless, uphold the cause of the poor and the oppressed.
So read it one more time. Defend the
weak and the fatherless, uphold the cause of the poor and the oppressed.
All right. And so we're saying now this isn't just another rule, right?
Right.
What is it?
Principle.
If it's not just another rule, or you're supposed to do that, it's what?
It's a calling.
It's a way of living.
A way of life.
To reflect the character of God, right?
Yes.
Right. Psalm, Proverbs 14, verse 31. Timotel?
Proverbs 14, verse 31. And I'll be reading from the New King James Version. He who oppresses the poor reproaches his maker, but he who honors him has mercy on the needy.
Wow, what do you hear there, Andrea? There's some kind of correlation. What is it? It's not just another role, you got to care for the poor.
Yeah, I mean, each person represents their maker. They've been designed by him, so it doesn't matter if you're rich or poor, but when you're helping someone who's poor, you're actually honoring God who made them.
Is that powerful?
Powerful.
And you're honoring God, and hopefully you're also helping that person, what? Not just giving them
see
food
God's
or whatever, you're helping them what?
See God.
See God, that's right. Yeah, catch a picture of what God is like. Nathan?
Defending the fatherless really hit a note with me because it was often the fatherless who were exploited. Mm-hmm. Widows and their children could
still
be exploited,
today.
And it still is true today. And God says, I'll be your father when you don't have a father. Mm-hmm. And so the whole thing that we're looking at with justice and mercy is about God saying, these are my children, and I'm asking you to be involved in helping me care for them.
Wow. Very powerful. Jonathan.
Yeah, it just seems like there's a picture of to the degree that we have authority in the world of some sort, that we are called to reflect. And in some way, we will reflect God in some way, either negatively or positively.
So when I see someone in need, whether she's rich or poor, because that doesn't matter, right? When I see someone in need, and we'll talk about how do I know when, but we can say, God, thank you for the opportunity to show what a beautiful character you have. Mm-hmm. What a different way of looking at life. Kyle.
I was just remembering something I'd heard about Mother Teresa. They said when she was ministering on the streets of Calcutta, someone asked her, how are you able to go and minister to these people that are dying and sick in the along the side of the road? And she said, well, every time I look in the face of one of these people, I see the face of Jesus.
Amen.
Oh, man.
And, you know, everyone who ministers in Christ's name, I mean, we have to see Jesus in the people we serve. And I think that gives us the opportunity to love them, motivates us to serve them.
Beautiful. Nayara.
No, that just makes me think we have a huge responsibility.
We do.
As a Christian, yes. Because when you're helping somebody, the person probably never believed in God can believe in God like this just because you're helping them. Mm-hmm. It's a huge responsibility.
It is, and a privilege. Let's look at a couple of other verses. Proverbs 29, verse 7, and Proverbs 31, 8 and 9. So, Miso, do you have 29, 7?
Sure. Proverbs 29, verse 7, reading from the New King James Version. The righteous considers the cause of the poor, but the wicked does not understand such knowledge.
So, are they righteous because they consider the needs of the poor? Or do they consider the needs of the poor because they're connected to God?
Yes.
Or which one is it?
Second.
It's the second one.
It's the second one. Absolutely.
Yeah.
God, the closer we get to God, the more we know His heart and the more we reflect who He is.
Right. So we're not talking here about earning God's love by caring, regardless of socioeconomic level. The rich, needy, poor, needy, middle class, needy. We're not earning God's favor. Right. We're certainly not earning salvation, right? But if we are connected to a loving God who cares about mercy and justice, can I use the word that will seep through or flow through? Maybe you speak about the river of blessing, flow through to others. Jonathan?
In a verse following, it talks about how, and throughout Scripture, you've got that just that when it isn't working that way, we can trust that God is the ultimate judge.
Yes.
I mean, when we are in the position like we are being misjudged, taken advantage of, that we can trust that God will ultimately overthrow that imbalance.
Well, there's many other verses. I'm just going to ask a question. Why is it important that we reflect God's character of love by showing mercy and justice? Why is that important? Why can't we let someone else do it? Or let God do it all by Himself? Why does it matter, Tyler?
I mean, if we don't do it, who else will do it? Yeah. You know, how will it get done? If we're God's ambassadors and we're Christians or we're disciples of Jesus, then the only way to truly make other disciples and to show God's love is by reflecting that character of justice and mercy.
Just imagine if God said, let someone else show mercy.
Mm. Right.
Mm. Where would we be? Right? So I'm going to ask you to do a scan of Scripture after a couple of comments. Missy and Nicole.
I can't help but think about the passage. I'm paraphrasing. We do these things so that we can reflect God, and people can see that these righteous acts come from God.
Yeah. Well, and certainly,
turn people to God.
Certainly in the Sermon on the Mount where he says, you're the light of the world,
yes.
Let your light so shine before men and women, that they may see
your good works.
We could say acts of mercy and justice, right? And
glorify
you, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Glorify your Father in heaven. And Tyler, I really appreciate what you said. If we don't do it,
who else?
Who will? Who will? Now, are there people who don't know God, don't even believe in God, believe we're here by accident, who show mercy and justice to people?
Yes.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Maybe in that we can help them to catch a glimpse that there is a God who reflects that beauty too. Tyler?
You know, also, I think in the world, though, there's kind of an imbalance. There's maybe a group that shows a little bit too much mercy and not enough justice. Then there's another group that shows a little too much justice and not enough mercy. But God has the perfect blend between the two. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's beautiful. Yes, Nicole?
I was going to say, this brings up the saying, practice makes perfect. Perfection's in Christ. And so if we're practicing, reflecting Him, we're moving towards perfection in Him. And so I think this is also not just helping others, but it helps ourselves to become closer to Christ when we actually reflect Him.
And Jesus talks, doesn't he, about first the blade, then the ear.
Right.
And he talks about being perfect as my Father in heaven, not as a way of salvation, but to reflect the character of our Savior. Timotel.
And it's also very much needed in this world because in this world there's a huge misconception of who God is for those who actually believe that there may be a God. And that is because, as we studied in a previous lesson, there are forces of evil that we cannot see that work constantly against this. And so it is upon us to make sure we show the character of God in our righteous works or in helping the poor or stuff like that.
Yeah. Let's look at one story in the Old Testament. We're talking about mercy and justice. One story in the New Testament that we'll come to in this series is the Good Samaritan. But I'd like to go to the book of Ruth, chapter 2. We could read the whole book. But Jason, I'm going to ask you to read verses 15 through 17. I love this story. I mean, it's not only, it's actually quite a romantic story, but it's also a beautiful picture of the character of God. And see what you hear in this story about showing mercy, reflecting the character of God. By the way, remember the identity of these characters as you hear Jason read.
I'll be reading from the New King James Version, Ruth chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. And when she rose up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, "Let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not reproach her. Also, let grain from the bundles fall purposely for her. Leave it that she may glean, and do not rebuke her." So she gleaned in the field until evening, and beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley.
And does anybody have a chain reference or know how much an ephah was?
About 30 pounds.
30 pounds, okay. So it's a whole lot more than she expected to bring home. Mm-hmm. So I imagine Ruth, you know, coming home with this huge sack, right? You know, that's for 14 kilos or so, right? She's coming home with this huge sack of grain, and her mother-in-law, Naomi, going, "What happened?" Right?
Yeah.
How does that show a picture of God's character? By the way, give me a little background. Ruth's background?
Moabite,
right?
Enemies of God.
Yeah, enemies of God, pagan, yeah. Child sacrifice, a lot of bad things. Boaz?
Tribe of Judah. Kinsman Redeemer.
Yeah, he's actually one of her kins, well, actually through Naomi, right?
Naomi.
So he is going to come as a representative of Messiah, right? The Redeemer. And he's going to redeem her, and you know, that whole story you can read. It's a beautiful picture. It almost seems kind of excessive, you know. Can you see the picture?
Yeah.
And that. Why? What's this all about? I mean, what's it telling us about God?
He's representing God's character.
Yeah. And
you want some mercy? You want some more mercy? Yeah. You want? And what does that say about how we should live? Tyler.
It shows God's abundance, you know, and then his abundance and his mercy and his love and his blessings poured upon us. And then he asks us to return the favor to those around us and reflect that character to those.
Mm-hmm. Andrea?
Yeah, something about the story, too, is that they use the system in a way that preserves dignity as well. So, I mean, Boaz could have just gone and gotten a sack of barley and dropped it off at their front door. Mm. But instead, they use this culture and this system that they have so that she has a part to play. She's doing the work, but she's just like, wow, there's a lot of extra grain on the ground right now. But yeah.
So it doesn't just drop off a sack saying food for the poor.
Right.
Poor and needy.
Right.
Right.
So
yeah.
Maintaining her dignity and yet surprising her with this.
It's obviously generous still.
Very generous. Nathan.
Because the kinsman redeemer reflected who God was and actually was performing a role that God wanted performed, there was, when you read through the Old Testament, you find the responsibilities of a kinsman redeemer were threefold. And I just have some notes from previous study here. If there was a human loss, they would pursue the killer to bring them to justice. If they had a judicial need in court, they would be the one that would go to court for them. And they would help them economically to recover property. Mm. But ultimately, what they were doing through all of those steps was they were keeping the person who was estranged from the community of Israel in the community. They were making sure they stayed in the community of Israel. That's exactly what God wants us to do. He wants us to be inclusive, to bring people in, make sure that their rights are met and that they are included as equals in society.
Now, Nayara said earlier, this is a huge assignment, right? I mean, this could drastically affect the way that we live. So let's make it very practical. You're driving back from filming, and you get to a light, and someone's there with a piece of cardboard saying,
"We'll work for food."
We'll work for food. Yeah, let's assume they would work. Or, "I need money," or, "I'm homeless," or, "I lost my job." And I'm guessing wherever you live in the world, there's someone like that too. Maybe they put it on something other than cardboard. How do you know which of those people, can you help them all? Maybe you can, I don't know. How do you know which one to help? Anybody help me with that? You talked about practical.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We do want to show mercy. We don't want to put people down because they're in need, right? Give them respect. How do I know which ones to help, though?
I mean, can you really know?
I don't know. Tyler says, can I know? Kyle?
I don't think we can know. I think we just have to make preparations to be able to help people in maybe small ways. You know, have a piece of food or a tract to give them when you go by. I think we can make preparation to be able to help. We don't know who's genuine, who's not. God calls us to.
So you would say just help everybody because I don't know which is genuine and which isn't. What do you think? Help me, somebody, Nicole.
Well, I personally help agencies that I think actually reach out to these individuals, various individuals that do soup kitchens, various churches. I kind of help that way because I don't know when I'm on the streets who actually is in need, who's going to use the resources for something else. So I just personally feel more comfortable when I actually help an agency that's going to actually provide for a larger number of individuals.
So you would say because those people are committed to showing the mercy of God and the justice of God, right, and they screen maybe people to find out if they're needy or just going from one organization to another, that would be one way to know. I want to come back. Can we know? Sumiso.
I believe the Holy Spirit leads us into what to do. So if we're in tune with Christ, Christ had compassion on people. And so if we're in tune with him, he speaks to us as to who should be assisted, and the Lord will speak to you. And if you hear that still voice speaking to you,
so you would trust a very personal interaction with God by His Holy Spirit to guide you in that. Tricia Lee, is that practical? What do you think?
I think it's practical. I also like, in addition to what Kyle mentioned, what Andrea mentioned about treating people with respect. This situation with someone that's at the stoplight, mm-hmm, there's not much time to make a decision there. So if you're prepared ahead of time, you can do something. But I think the person that's walking down the street, how many times do we actually take the time to speak to someone? Do we just want to throw a quarter at them and then say, I did something and kept it moving? Or how many times do we really say, my brother, my sister, what's really going on? What's the real need here? Yeah. And I think that's the type of interaction that we saw with Christ. He didn't just heal people and then walk off. He really wanted to connect with them. And I think God is calling us to meet needs that are deeper than just handing them a sandwich or handing them a billfold, but to speak to someone and treat them like a human, give them eye contact. And I think that can go so much farther in uplifting humanity, not to feel like they're forgotten or left behind. And then to Samiso's point about, speaking and talking to God about situations, I've had two experiences where I've not had any cash on me and I felt moved to give money to two individuals. And I had to go to an ATM to do so. But in the process, I said, Lord, I don't know if this person needs this money, if these people need this money or not. But Lord, if you want me to give them this money, let them still be right there. Mm. And in both situations, I came back and the men were gone, completely gone.
Wow.
And I said, you know what,
Coincidence,
Lord?
Coincidence? Or?
I don't think so. I said, you know what, Lord, thank you. And I said, now that I have this money in my hand, preparation, send somebody else my way who really does need this to do something right.
And
and he did. And it's a combination of being prepared, but are we willing to really connect with people? Or do we just want to hand them a sandwich and then drive up on our way?
This is so practical. I'm going to have a section at the end where we can share some illustrations from our own experience. But I want us to look at a few passages, if I can, how God feels about people who have this external piety but don't show mercy and justice. A few texts. Let's look together in Isaiah 58, verses 1, 6, and 7. Someone else could look in Matthew 25, 41 to 45, and Matthew 23, 23. It's strong language. Kyle, do you have Isaiah 58?
Sure.
Verses 1, 6, and 7.
Okay. And I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Cry aloud, spare not. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Tell my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins. And now going to verse 6. Is this not the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out? When you see the naked, that you cover him, and not hide yourself from your own flesh.
Mm. Now, we talk about, regardless of rich or poor, break every yoke. Are there wealthy people who have a yoke on them?
Yes. Yes.
Of course.
Yeah.
And poor people?
Yes.
And everybody in between?
Yes.
And what did it say? Break Break every yoke. So I keep coming back to Noyar or something you said at the beginning. This is like huge, right? I mean, this could like drastically affect the way that we live. Matthew 25, 41 to 45. Tyler, read that for us.
I'll be reading from the New International Version. Then he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me." They also will answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you?" He will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me."
Now, I want you to notice what they call him, because we're talking here about people who externally are quite religious, but they don't show mercy and justice.
They called him Lord.
Yeah. So these are
his followers.
His followers. Disciples.
They're professed religious people, right?
Yeah.
And yet, what does he say to them?
I don't know who you are.
One last text, Matthew 23, 23, talking about God's rebuke to those who have external piety. Missy, do you have that for us? Matthew 23 and verse 23.
Yes. I am reading from the New International Version. "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill, and cumin, but you have neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former. Mm. You blind guides, you strain out a gnat, but swallow a camel."
Mm. Ouch. There's nothing wrong in being returning a tithe, by the way. There's nothing wrong. Yeah. But he says, if you're doing all this religious activity and not showing mercy and justice, those are the big issues. So help me. This is a really important question, because this could change everything in terms of the way we live. How can we avoid falling into the trap of doing the external activity, go to church, even read my Bible, pray, take part in a Bible study, and neglect these big issues that really matter to God? How can I avoid falling into that trap, Jason?
Well, I know for me it's important to focus on the things that matter. In several different verses here, we read about the fatherless and the stranger. And so it's important for me to remember to care about helping the least of these. And then if I'm focusing on others and not myself, it helps me have my focus where God has. And then I can see sort of how to live my life in harmony with him by living these principles of faith and justice. So acting them out by purposely focusing on those who need them the most.
So I can avoid that trap by just hearing the word here that it matters and doing it. Anybody else? Andrea?
I was just thinking of how, you know, a little bit later on in Matthew, Jesus sends people. He says, go, therefore. And I think we have to be exposed to the need before we understand that there is one, obviously.
Mm. Okay.
And then at that point, I think God, like, if the Holy Spirit's in us, he naturally activates us to be moved. But we have to, you know, if we're going to just sit in our own little comfort and have our own, the same every time, we're not always going to see it. Sometimes things, you know, come into our bubble. But otherwise, I think that's one of the reasons we have to go out a little bit around us, our neighborhood or wherever, so we can see that.
So we could be in a pretty comfortable little cocoon.
Mm-hmm.
That's
it's safe.
Nature, right? A safe little hideout when we need to go out and to see the need. Missy?
It's easy to fall into a trap of going through the motions. And I think it's important to maintain a strong connection with God.
Yes.
Because unless we know his heart, we won't be able to serve those around us. We have to maintain that connection.
Amen.
All right. We're going to see now some blessings that come when we do reflect the character of God. Because really, we're not just following rules, we're reflecting the character of God, showing mercy and grace. Someone read Isaiah 58, verses 8 and the first half of verse 9. And then I want you to scan and think of some other passages of Scripture that say that we're actually blessed ourselves when we allow the blessing of God to flow through us to others. Who has Isaiah? Timotel, 58, verses 8 and the first half of verse 9.
The first half of verse 9. And I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Then your light shall break forth like the morning. Your healing shall spring forth speedily. And your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, here I am.
I like that first part. Read it. Could you read it again, that first verse, verse 8?
Verse 8. Then your light shall break forth like the morning.
Your light shall break forth. Kyle, does that bring a New Testament image to us at all? The light breaking forth like the morning?
John 8:12.
Nathan, what does it say? You've got
Jesus
it memorized?
Said, I am the light of the world.
Okay.
I am the light of the world.
Said at dawn.
He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life.
And I was just thinking of the Old Testament verse where it says the path of the just shines ever brighter until the perfect day.
Yeah. So here we've got this idea that, and this is right after the verses about caring for the poor and the oppressed. Mm-hmm. What happens to me when I do that? What happens when I share mercy and care about justice? What happens?
It comes back to you.
It comes back to us.
It may not come back financially or whatever, but it'll come back to you in some way because you're getting that blessing. You're a part of that channel of life-giving power.
Right.
This world is so dark. This world is so dark. But when people see the love of Jesus, I mean, it's like a light in a dark place, you know? It's that's what people need to see.
And we're going to look at some other texts about coming back. But actually, to use the image of the text, when a healing river flows through you...
Mm. You're healed.
I mean, it is impossible not to be blessed.
Amen.
I mean, what are you going to do? Build some kind of protective barrier as the healing blessing flows through you? Mm. It's impossible for you not to be blessed, isn't it?
Right.
Yes, Andrew.
It also brings up a good point that a lot of times we think that we have to be fully healed or okay before we start helping other people. But a lot of times the path of healing does include healing other people.
Yeah. Ah, so healing comes as we reach out. Two verses let's look at and then a few minutes to share. Luke 6:38 and Acts 20:35. I think we know, as Tyler pointed out, the blessing comes back. But view it like that river of blessing flowing through you. And... who has that? Kyle, do you have that verse in Luke 6:38?
I'll be reading from New King James Version. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom.
How does that relate to the story of Boaz and Ruth?
Oh, yeah.
Does it relate at all?
Oh, yeah. It does.
In what way?
More than abundance.
It's the same theme of abundance. Like, you think you allowed a blessing to flow through you to this person? Just wait and see. Oh. And what about Acts 20, verse 35? Nicole?
I'm reading from the New International Version, and Acts 20:35 says, in everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak. Remembering the words the Lord Jesus himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Mm.
It's more blessed to give. So we don't give in order to be blessed, but it's coming.
Yeah.
Amen.
So I want someone, a testimony as we close. Someone where you allowed a blessing, you said you were ready, Kyle, just in case someone needs it. You allow the mercy of God, the justice of God to be shown through you, and you ended up thinking, I was blessed more than the other person. Mm-hmm. Nayara?
I remember I was in Jersey. And me and my friend, we had to stop at a supermarket. And there was this guy outside, and he was telling us, look, I just got out of jail. And he was showing us his card and said, look, I'm hungry. You know, I'm not fooling you. Please do help me out. And so we went inside the supermarket. We bought some food for him, you know, a little treat. And I came out, and I said, here you go. And I just saw... he was just glowing up, thank you, but he came to give me his hand, and I was like, no, I gave him a huge hug. You know, he was on the street, he wasn't, like, smelling very well, but all I know that the whole entire day, I just felt so good. I said, wow, I never felt this this huge feeling. My heart was just so warm. It was beneficial for me.
Now, Andrew, I'm going to give you a chance to respond because we talked earlier about treating people with respect. Mm-hmm. How did you see that manifested in the way Naira was in New Jersey, just in case people wondered where Jersey was, right? Near New York. How did you see that respect in the way that she got that food?
Yeah, I mean, rather than just like, you know, here's a sandwich, I think the main thing is you're connecting with someone. You're validating their existence by giving them time, giving a hug. Like, I think that's the best thing.
Yeah. Could have come out and said, here's a can of beans. Poor people eat beans. Right. But I like what you said. You even got them a little treat. Yeah. You know, it's like we're thinking, and then you're saying that eye contact, Tricia mm-hmm. Lee talked about, that mm-hmm. physical. You obviously felt safe. You had a friend with you, so you weren't...
And I also gave a Bible verse, I forgot.
And a Bible verse. Oh, that's the greatest gift. Timothy.
I think what she did was she ministered to that deeper need to feel important.
Yeah.
To feel like God has a plan for you. God loves you. And this is God's blessing to you. And I want to contrast it with something that happened with me. I was coming back from getting some food at work one day. And I saw a guy on the street. And he said, man, I need some money. Can you help me out with some food? And I said, yeah, sure. And I gave him everything that was in my wallet. And he was like, oh, thank you, man. Try to give me a hug. And I was like, wait, hold up, man. You don't have to give me a hug. You can buy your food, though. Buy the food.
Yep.
And I was out, right? And I didn't feel great. In fact, I felt worse. Mm. Because I had the opportunity to witness for Christ, to show love, like how Christ would have us to show love. And I did the absolute opposite and just tried to minister to his physical need.
Wow.
Instead of the deeper spiritual need.
Mm. And so if you were to replay that?
Oh, man, I'd have accepted the hug, you know, giving it to him tightly like Nayara did. You know? But huge lesson.
And we all have opportunities. Mm. Thanks for being that honest. We all have opportunities to think now as we see a need, rich person, poor person, person we know, person we've never met. How do we show the mercy of God? How do we seek the justice that God cherishes in the situation? What a different way to look at life from simply saying, what's in it for me? Yes. What would our communities look like if those who love God live that way? Mm. I want to pray for us that we can be those kind of people who seek mercy and justice just like our awesome God. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much for reminding us of those things that are dear to you, mercy and justice. And I pray that you would do whatever you need to do in us so that you can pour your mercy and your justice through us. And we know that as the blessing flows, we too will be blessed. But we pray that your name would be honored and those around us blessed. We pray it in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Well, thanks for joining us for Hope Sabbath School today. Amazing series we're on. The role of the church in the community, not just theory, but practical. How the love of God can impact the lives of those around us. Let the river of blessing from God flow through you to bless the lives of those around you.